When Milt Campbell was a 13-year-old living in New Jersey, Bob Mathias won the Olympic gold medal in the decathlon. Milt made up his mind that he was going to do the same. 4 years later, Milt was competing against Mathias in Helsinki, Finland. And once again, Bob Mathias stood on the top step with the gold around his neck. Now, Milt was on the second step. He had won the silver medal, but that wasn't what Milt had come there for. So he made the decision then and there that in 4 years, the gold would be his. Over the next four long years, Milt Campbell trained. As he stood in the Olympic Village in Melbourne, Australia, 4 years later, another decathlon competitor, Rayford Johnson, asked Milt, "What do you think is going to happen?" Milt turned to Rayford and said, "Rayford, you've wasted your time coming here. This one is mine." And this time, it was. Milt went home with the gold. Milt didn't just believe that he was going to win the gold medal. He knew. Hello, this is Bob Proctor. I'm going to be talking about the XY factor, which ultimately leads to the difference between believing and knowing. Knowing goes beyond belief. Belief is an expression of faith. If you had perfect knowledge, you wouldn't need faith. Faith or belief is only necessary in the absence of knowledge. When you know, there's absolutely no threat of skepticism. When you think about the Milt Campbell story, some skeptics might say, well, what if Rayford also knew he was going to win the gold? But the bottom line is this, Rayford didn't know. If he had known, he wouldn't be asking Milt now, would he? He didn't know, and he didn't win. Somewhere within him, Rayford was skeptical. Knowing leaves no room for skepticism. Knowing goes beyond belief. Knowing travels beyond what would seem to be rational reality. In the Matrix movie trilogy, the leader, Morpheus, was questioned as to the potential success of their ongoing war against the machines. To this, Morpheus replied, "It's not a matter of hope, it's a matter of time." That's knowing. Knowing resides at the core of you. It's why I often tell my coaching clients to consult with their inner knower. Your inner knower knows. As the writer D.H. Lawrence once said, "The mind can assert anything and pretend it has proved it. My beliefs I test on my body and then on my intuitional consciousness. And when I get a response there, then I accept and know." Now, you don't have to go through something to know. Milt Campbell hadn't yet won the gold medal, but he knew it was going to be his. Albert Einstein knew the theory of relativity long before he was able to prove it. In fact, it took more than 10 years to prove his theory. Many of us would have thrown up our hands and thrown in the towel long before that 10-year mark, but Einstein knew. Looking back on that period in his life, the endless tests and equations, Einstein merely shrugged. To him, it didn't matter how long it took. The fact was, it was a done deal. It was never a question. It wasn't even a belief. It was only a matter of invested time to prove what he knew. Milt Campbell and Albert Einstein are both examples of individuals who had a deep understanding of the law. They knew that when you work in coordination with the law, certain things must happen. You might as well put out a sign and tell people you're a psychic. You just know what's going to happen. This all sounds good in theory, but it's easier said than done. You really have to believe in the creative process and the universal laws, or skepticism, fear, and doubt are going to control you. This is what I call the X factor. The X factor is the conditioning that resonates in our subconscious mind. I frequently refer to it as a paradigm. We may also refer to it as a habit or idea that's fixed in our subconscious mind. A paradigm takes up residence in your mind in a couple of ways. In many cases, you actually inherit this paradigm, like a certain trait at birth. It's so firmly grounded in your family line that it becomes a genetic factor. A paradigm also locks itself into our mind as a result of our culture. It's a seed of an idea, a way of life, a response to the environment that has been expanded upon us since very early childhood. As we grow in this environment, it's that very environment that builds this paradigm's walls higher. It was Oliver Wendell Holmes who once observed, We are all tattooed in our cradles with the beliefs of our tribe. The record may seem superficial, but it is indelible. You cannot educate a man wholly out of superstitious fears, which were implanted in his imagination, no matter how utterly his reason may reject them. No matter how dated, erroneous, opinionated, harmful, or just plain wrong, paradigms are in absolute control of most people the majority of their days on the earth. But it doesn't have to be this way. A paradigm can be shifted. A paradigm can be programmed over as if one were laying lush, thick carpet over an ugly concrete floor. For the most part, you can live out your life without even knowing or recognizing what kind of conditioning you have going on in that mind of yours. This conditioning, the X factor, is really an unknown factor until you try to do something new. Until you try to think something new. Until you try to make a decision that will shift some outcome in your life. You might be ready to quit smoking or start an exercise program that you actually stick with this time. You might be engaging in a new sport or community activity. You might decide to quit that job that you've disliked for the last 12 years. It doesn't matter what the activity is. If it's new, your X factor won't like it. Only then does your perfectly comfortable sleeping X factor rear its head and come charging out of its cave. Now, in most cases, your X factor doesn't immediately begin with bellowing at you. This is reserved for very special moments when it's really threatened. Now, in most cases, it first tries its voice of reason. It becomes that little voice in your head that tells you what you can't do and why you can't do it. Do you ever wonder who's talking to you when you're all alone? There's no one there, yet you're carrying on a conversation. Of course, the conversation is usually a mental one, but every now and then, you'll see people actually carrying on a conversation with themselves. That's your X factor standing at the door with Y on the other side, and it's concerned. A new idea has come knocking at the door. Your X has just been formally introduced to the Y factor. Your Y factor can be anything that represents change. It disrupts the status quo. It might be the healthiest, loftiest, most wonderful idea or decision you're making in your entire life. But your X factor, the Y represents bloody rebellion. The Y factor is the coup coming to tear down the existing X government. Now, you want this change. You're tired of living the way you've been living. You're ready to shift your life in the direction you want to go, in the direction you've dreamed of going. Johann Wolfgang Goethe said, "The things that matter most must never be at the mercy of things that matter least." This Y factor matters to you. This Y factor wants in your emotional subconscious mind in a bad way. It's ready to set up shop, to get things accomplished, to turn the boat around and start paddling for a much more attractive shore. So it's standing there right now, knocking at the door of your mind. But your ex, it doesn't want any company. It's decided it's not even going to answer the door. Y is knocking and X is standing there, its arms folded, saying, "Nope, I'm not letting you in. If I let you in, everything changes, and I don't like change." Reminds me of the old Fats Domino hit. I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. And so the argument begins, and it's a constant one. It's an ongoing litany in your head. Your X factor is king of the land of ceaseless prattle. Every time your Y knocks with an explanation as to why this new way of life will work, X has another rational, sensible, go-away statement. There's no end to it. After all, X has had your entire life to work out its arguments. It's practiced. It probably had this run-in before. In fact, at first, X just digs into its file cabinet for the script it used last time. Why bother writing new material? It's always stopped you before, right? But this time, you don't want to stop. You really want this. You believe you deserve it. And something inside tells you that you can have it. And so you knock harder. And in so doing, you've just moved the situation from DEFCON 1 to DEFCON 3. Just as the United States government's defense readiness condition will rise in number based on the threat that's arrowing its way in, your X Factor has its own DEFCON hardwired system. The minute the Y steps through the door, your X Factor moves from being concerned to being afraid. And suddenly, you're uncomfortable. Your awareness pauses and sniffs the air. In a split second, your mind has entered a new vibration. It is in upheaval. Your X has given up on rational coup d'etat. It's now decided it must stop you at all costs. It's setting up a negative vibration. And that feeling floods every cell of your being because it's conditioned to do just that. Fear now wakes and lumbers from the cave. And you'd better believe every cell of your being knows that something big is up. I read the most fascinating descriptive of this very reaction the other day. Sidney Madweb said, "I was always puzzled by the fact that people have a great deal of trouble and pain when and if they are forced or feel forced to change a belief or circumstance which they hold dear." Then I read that a Canadian neurosurgeon discovered some truths about the human mind, which revealed the intensity of this problem. He conducted some experiments which proved that when a person is forced to change a basic belief or viewpoint, the brain undergoes a series of nervous sensations equivalent to the most agonizing torture. Your X factor, it's going to put up a fight. When fear enters the picture, logic leaves. Understanding should tell you what this is. It's X trying to dominate your thinking. When you give fear constant attention, you're only feeding X. The fear alarm trips the anxiety alarm. Now nothing good can come of this. Your central nervous system goes crazy. Bells and sirens are going off, and the nervous chain reaction continues. Now doubt, fear, and anxiety register at the command center, your subconscious mind, where your paradigms are housed. Your command center, your subconscious mind, will gauge the temperature, the vibration your body is in, and it will accommodate this vibration, thus producing more action in a positive or negative way, which in turn produces outward results in a positive or negative way. That's why when we back off or quit because of fear, we're not telling ourselves, "Well, I'm not going to do it because I'm afraid." Instead, we're giving ourselves a host of excuses. "Well, I'm terrible at this," or "if I try that, this will probably occur," or "it wouldn't be very good for my health because..." You see, every excuse our X factor can come up with will rise to the surface, and quickly, because these paradigms have been lodged in our heads a long, long time. Now, your X factor will go to extreme lengths to maintain control. This reminds me of a story a dear friend recently told me about an incident she had in the ocean. For just about a year now, she's been participating in a competitive outrigger club, those six-person canoes with the balancing beam that skims the water on the side, like in the TV show Hawaii Five-0. Now, this girl was born and raised in the middle of the United States, where bodies of water weren't much larger than her own bathtub, so the entire experience of getting out on the ocean has indeed been an extreme Y-factor paradigm shift for her. To everyone's astonishment, she's quickly risen through the ranks and in a single year collected a slew of medals from the various races she's competed in. I'll get more into this in a moment. What I want to mention here is that she also began paddling what they call a one-person outrigger. It's a long slip of a kayak sort of thing that weighs about 25 pounds. It barely has room for a seat, and you sit with your knees up, operating your rotor with your foot pedals. Last year, and once again to the surprise of longtime paddlers throughout the state, she took the state championship in the one-person outrigger races, each of which took place in miles of harbor water. A couple of weeks ago, she had decided to compete in her first ocean race, not in the harbor, in the one-person boat, and was out in a very rough ocean. Last year, she and I worked through some paradigm-shifting thought patterns, as this ocean is not a familiar friend to her, and she had experienced some very real initial fear in that 6-person boat. She admitted to me that when she first got out there on the big ocean on her 1-person boat a couple of weeks ago, the same old fear came burbling up. Sure enough, about 2 miles out, her boat flipped. Immediately, her X factor flooded the front of her mind. The water was in the low 50s, and she was in shorts and a tank top, no life jacket. She was in her coach's borrowed and expensive boat. There wasn't a single soul in sight to help her. She had accidentally let go of her paddle when the boat flipped. The waves were crashing in on all sides, and she was having a heck of a time getting the boat to turn upright. And her X factor slyly reminded her, after its first 5-second litany of facts, that she was an okay swimmer, but certainly not a great one. As she clung to the boat to get her breath back, her Y factor hustled up to help. "Remember, stay calm," it reminded her. "The ocean is just energy like you. You can work this thing out together. You've been in this water before. You're strong." The X factor was back in her face. The litany of danger, stupidity, and lack of knowledge was back. Like a prattling, finger-shaking biddy, her fear began to rise. Anxiety began to take over. Her body started shaking from the cold. She began to feel a little desperate. But then she started to talk out loud. As she continued to work at righting the boat, everything Y factor she could think of, she said out loud. And then, as if a voice were leaning down to whisper in her ear, it was as if she was told what to do to get the boat upright. It was nothing that had ever been taught her and nothing she had ever tried before. But she didn't hesitate. She knew. Just as Milt Campbell knew the gold medal was his, she knew without a doubt that this wasn't X she was hearing. So she followed through, and it worked. In seconds, she was back in the boat, paddling with her hands to retrieve her paddle, which had wandered nearly 30 yards further out to sea. When you're grappling with X and Y factors, your channel of power is either open or closed. When she first flipped that boat in the middle of a stormy sea, the age-old X factor took front and center. The channel to power was closed. But see, she already had Y factors in her head. She'd already been consciously working at opening that channel to infinite power. Because of the Y factor, this newcomer Denver girl had been winning races against people who had been paddling on the ocean for decades. Because of the Y factor, she worked through many fear issues of swimming and being in the ocean. Because of the Y factor, she tried and won races in the 1-person outrigger. Again and again and again, in her first year of paddling, she was overlaying the old landlocked X factor with this Y thought and action. So when she overturned the boat a few weeks ago, the Y factor was there for her. The channel to power opened, and knowing was there for her. Now, you don't have to be stranded with an overturned boat in the ocean to have the immediate ability to reject the fear your X factor shoves in your face. You have the choice. You don't have to give fear its consciousness. And you make this choice of rejecting the fear by letting yourself become emotionally involved with what Y is going to do in your life, what it's already doing in your life. When you focus on the Y factor results, you're letting the door open. You're letting Y in. The power, you see, comes in your conscious awareness of how your mind functions, and then constantly, steadfastly setting up your Y factor to win. Remember, Y is always the good guy. X is the bad controller. The Y has to get to the point where it's strong enough to overpower the X. Your want has to be stronger, or X will keep the door closed. And when the door does open and Y gets in, it's going to be strong enough to stay there. It's got to be strong enough to win the battle that is about to ensue against X and X's territory, or it will be pushed out again very quickly. The failure, the status quo, is the X. It does everything it can to bustle the why factor right out so that you don't act on it or fight back. My outrigger friend has told me that her female boat members find it necessary to regularly remind her that the girls on this team never win medals. We usually come in 6th or 7th, but we never win. And guess what? Those girls don't win. In fact, I know this will blow your socks off. They usually come in 6th or 7th. Can you imagine that? But that's all right, you see. That's status quo for them. It might be failure, but it's comfortable failure. It's just the way things are. See, that's the strength of X. The want comes up. Your Y factor makes an initial appearance, and X rationalizes it away in a heartbeat. Your Y want is weakened to the point of just being a wish. It really wasn't anything to take seriously, for heaven's sake. You don't really believe that you could have it. It would be nice to have, but, you know, better to forget about it. You can be getting less than stellar results in various areas of your life and still be rationalizing a better change away. Rationalizing keeps us in our comfort zone. I heard it once said that rationalizing is rationing lies to the mind. You might dread going to your job every morning. Well, you say, at least I get good benefits. Your marriage might be not much more than rote routine. You realize that instead of truly being in love, you're in habit. And rather than putting new effort into the marriage or repairing the damage, you stay where it's comfortable. Well, you say, we've been married so many years. Your communication with your children might be down the toilet. Well, they're teenagers. You give up on buying that house you've always had your eye on. How in the world could I make that kind of money to actually afford it, you ask? You might have been this route before, and it just faded into failure. Your X factor remembers and reminds you. Understand this. X cannot be trusted. It's devious. It's insidious how devious it is. It will take any path. It has no rules. It will win at any cost. It does not want your Y factor. It does not want you to take over. For every failure, for every settling, for everything wrote in your life that's just not what you hoped it would be, that's your X factor paradigm assuring you that status quo is the way to go. But who wants status quo? I know you don't, otherwise you wouldn't be listening to this message. There's a whole big wide world of magnificence out there. There's a wide world of magnificence in you, and you deserve it. Whatever you want, you deserve. And you can have it. You don't want to go through life saying, I could have been a contender. If you say that, that's all you're going to be. Get out there and start living the life you want. Get your why in motion. Walk it up to that X factor door of yours and start knocking, and don't let the why walk away. Remember, it doesn't take force, although your X factor might think it's a bloody coup. Your Y factor should remain as cool as a cucumber. In his wonderful little book, As a Man Thinketh, James Allen said, calmness of mind is one of the beautiful jewels of wisdom. It is the result of long and patient effort in self-control. When you are calm, you have the power on your side. This is the way it's supposed to be, and you're going to have it this way. Don't question it. Believe in it. It starts with a statement that you really mean. What is it exactly that you want? Write it out. Then write it out again. Write it on your goal card. Meditate on it. Get emotionally involved with the outcome of this Y factor in your life. How is it changing your life? How are you able to change the lives of others around you because of it? Now, that's an important statement I just made. When you engage a Y factor in your life, it pushes against more X factors than just your own. You're living in a new vibration, and that energy, that radiating vibration, flows from you like a sunrise coming over the horizon. Believe me, you won't even be able to imagine the kind of good you can bring into other people's lives when you, yourself, move your Y factor into action. When I was in my 20s and saw the incredible turn my life had taken as a result of studying this kind of material, I wanted to teach it. I wanted to tell everyone about it. And though I haven't gotten around to telling quite everyone yet, I'm forever amazed at how many people will stop me in airports or shopping malls or even on the street to tell me about something that I said that helped them shift. See, that's the channel I'm talking about. Whether you know it or not, there's a new channel of power that's affecting others' lives. Now, getting back to my outrigger friend, you can imagine that she's been met with a bit of opposition in her club. She disrupted the status quo. Even though her Y factor is creating wins for the club, there are some who would rather she had never shown up at that first novice practice. For the first time in 2 decades, the coaching has now shifted to accommodate those who are more athletically committed to the sport. And this causes fear and anxiety in those who would really rather just paddle along and finish in 6th or 7th place. But while some people are reacting negatively, others are rallying. Now they're beginning to train harder. Now they're changing their diets to accommodate the new level of performance they seek. Now they're practicing in a one-person boat to increase their strength. That open channel, it permeates, it grows, it expands. And it doesn't only expand in those around you. The more focused you are, the more often you write your new Y factor affirmation, the more you picture and write about the details of the results of your Y factor, the more it permeates and sinks into every cell of your being. You are continually impressing the Y upon the subconscious mind. And little by little, the space it's taking up in the subconscious mind is no longer occupied by X. Does the X factor go away completely? No, not usually. The longer and more steadfast you remain in the Y vibration, the harder it is for X to poke up its head. You might say that X is now permanently intimidated by Y. It might rise up with a comment or two, and in most cases, its prattle will come across as almost ridiculous to you. It might even make you laugh. And that's when you know Y is not only at the door, but comfortably settled in your rich and powerful mind. As William James would say, your Y factor has found its way into the treasury of your subconscious mind. Now, interestingly enough, once the Y is settled in, Y becomes your X factor. It becomes the status quo. This isn't necessarily a bad thing. After all, it was Y that got the whole ship turned in the direction you wanted to go. Your Y factor is being automatically expressed, and there's not much opposition to it any longer, until you're faced with a new scenario, until you go to do something different, until you push yourself once again out of the comfort zone. Because you don't ever want to stop growing, do you? You must always be raising the bar if you want to continue to add to life. When I was talking to my friend who belonged to the Outrigger Club, I mentioned that now she's got the flip in the ocean down. She's even more firmly embedded in the Y factor. The knowing factor is her inner being. She knows now that she knows. And she reminded me that she might know this ocean, but the thought of paddling in Hawaii with 8-foot-high waves and completely different currents trots the old X factor anxiety right back out on center stage. What was the Y factor in her Laguna native waters is now X in Hawaii. Will she eventually be paddling in Hawaii? Probably. See, this lady is into growing spiritually, mentally, and physically all the time. It really doesn't matter what she's good at. She's never satisfied. She's always trying to be better. And that's the way it is with people who are seriously locked into inviting more of themselves to the party. They're always trying to beat their best. They keep going after the Y factors, wanting to turn them into X's. In other words, they want their conditioned mind, that part that automatically controls their behavior, to be programmed at a higher level. And when they get there, they want to raise it to an even higher level. If she lives long enough, she'll probably take that one-person dart she paddles around in and attempt to cross the Atlantic in December. As it stands now, she's winning her ocean races and is delving into the unknown Y world of sponsorship for both her one-person boat and a truck to lumber it around on. Would these Y thoughts even be a consideration a year ago? Not hardly. She's simply making her Ys into Xs. It's important to remember that your Ys will become your Xs as you continue to move forward in life. As an example, you might have quit that job, started your own company, or even earned double the amount of money you were earning. Great. But now you want to grow the company, quadruple your earnings. I want you to understand that every time you take a bite out of your vision, every time you take a step further in the right direction, the fear is going to appear. It's just going to be there because you're stepping into an area you've never been before. The difference, though, when you understand the XY concept, you know what's causing the fear. And a person who doesn't understand this has no awareness of what's causing the fear. They're lost. You're not. The odds of success are very much in your favor. You will very likely step forward into growth, where they will have a strong tendency to let the X win. They'll step back into safety. As soon as you think this new Y thought, I want you to pay close attention to the thoughts that trot out to your mind center stage. It's a lot of old stuff, isn't it? You have to work longer hours. You'd have to give up balance in your life. You'd have to hire people and you're a bad people manager. You'd have to deal with more client issues on a daily basis. Blah, 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 blah. See, that little X guy just never goes away. And now he's got your Y factor in there too. That Y factor that doubled your income is sitting there with a worrisome frown on its face, wondering if it can really quadruple your income next. I want you to ask yourself this question, this new thought, this new Y factor. Is it really going to cause you as much disruption as the initial Y thought caused? Probably not. But it is going to cause disruption. Yes, it probably will. The difference between winning and losing when you come up against the XY factor is in awareness. I've been doing this for over 40 years, and I can tell you, it still causes fear. It still causes disruption. But there isn't any way that I would even consider permitting the fear to win. When you listen to this message often enough, you're going to be every bit as determined to tell that X to get out of the way and go ahead with your dream. Logic dictates that if you've listened to this message on the XY factor a couple of times, you will understand it. But it's a little more than understanding we're after. We're after putting a new program into our bio hard drive, and the way to do that is repetition. This is probably one of the most important messages you will ever listen to because it is truly the key to freedom. So step up to bat, and the next time you go to do anything and somebody asks you why, you're going to be well equipped to let them know. This is Bob Proctor, and thank you.